Good morning, Hope Astoria. I'm so glad that we can worship Jesus together from the comfort of our homes. I want to welcome family, friends, guests, folks that are not part of our church that are tuning in. I'm so glad that you're joining. My prayer is that all of us would encounter Jesus in a powerful way this morning. Today, we begin a brand new sermon series titled Growing in Prayer. We're going to be in this series for the next 4 weeks, and we're going to look at four different aspects of prayer. And today we're going to focus in on a very important aspect of prayer. Actually, I think it's one of the most vital aspects of prayer for this season of our life. We're going to dive right in. We're going to be reading from the book of Lamentations, chapter 1, verse 20 to 22. To give you some context for this book of the Bible, this book of the Bible was written around 586 BC. The author, it's actually unknown, even though some scholars would agree that maybe it was this author or that author. The general consensus, kind of middle ground, is that the author is unknown. But the events that inspired this book and that this book was written in response to were quite profound. It takes place 587 BC. And this was the moment in the history of God's people where the Empire of Babylon conquers the city of Jerusalem. And after ravaging the city, and the stories are just heart-wrenching of children being slain in the streets and women being mistreated in all sorts of ways, really grotesque things that took place, and the city being burnt down to just ashes. Imagine that. One day to the next, your home no longer existing, your way of life gone. And then God's people were taken into exile. They were ripped away from their land, even though it was just decimated, and they were taken to a foreign country. And in response to this, the book of Lamentations is written. God inspires this book to be written, and it contains something that you and I desperately need at this time. Let's go to scripture. Lamentations 1:20, it says, "See, Lord, how distressed I am. I'm in torment within, and in my heart I'm disturbed, for I have been most rebellious. Outside the sword bereaves, inside there's only death. People have heard my groaning, but there's no one to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my distress. They rejoice at what you have done. May you bring the day you have announced so they may become like me. Let all their wickedness come before you. Deal with them as you have dealt with me because of all my sins. My groans are many and my heart is faint." Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, would you speak to us this morning? Holy Spirit, would you fill every single home wherever anyone is watching? Lord, would you reveal yourself to us in a powerful way. Lord, we desire to meet you this morning. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been at a loss for words? It's a unique experience, and it happens in all sorts of ways. If you've ever seen a child develop in their ability to speak, it's the cutest thing to see them go from not having words to all of a sudden finding words that make sense and help them to communicate. But maybe you've seen the opposite, where maybe in your life, and I know I've experienced this, where you're going through some difficulty and you kind of feel stuck and you don't fully know how to describe what you're feeling and what you're experiencing. But the moment you have language to describe that, everything changes. Even if your circumstances don't, when you can actually verbalize and communicate what's happening, it's a powerful thing to go from being at a loss for words to discovering language that actually helps us to move forward. Why I begin there is because one of the challenges we face in this season is learning how to pray through the fog of the pain, the disorientation, the loss, the racism, the injustice, the divide that we experience in our city and our nation. And one of the challenges that you and I face is that in this season, we can experience a loss of words in prayer. We may not have the language that helps us to articulate what exactly we're feeling and seeing and experiencing. And prayer is a language that you and I grow in our journey with Jesus. Like a child that begins to learn how to talk with a few words, and over time, their sentences become more complex and they can have full conversations. Spiritually, you and I are on a journey to grow in prayer. And in this series, we're going to look at four different aspects of prayer that our hope and our desire to God is that He would help us to grow in our ability to pray. That by the end of this series, your language in prayer would expand. You'd have more words, more ability to communicate and commune with God. But today, what we're going to talk about is an aspect of prayer that for many of us, it's a struggle. For many of us, perhaps we haven't even recognized that this is an aspect of prayer. Perhaps you do this, but you don't even name it as prayer. You don't know that actually it's biblical. Or maybe you've never studied this aspect of prayer. And today we're going to get an inside look at what Scripture teaches us about this very important aspect of prayer that I believe is really vital for us at this time. And the aspect of prayer that I'm referring to is the prayer of lament. See, in the book of the Psalms, in the Scriptures, it contains 150 prayers. If you want to know what the book of Psalms is, if you're new to the Scriptures and new to Christianity, the book of Psalms is a book of prayers. And there's 150 of them written by various authors. And they actually are different kinds of prayers. They're not all the same. So there's five kinds of psalms. Some are psalms of praise. Some are psalms of wisdom. Some are psalms that deal with the royalty of God. Some deal with thanksgiving. And then there's many of them that are psalms of lament. This is interesting. 70% of the 150 psalms are categorized as psalms of lament. Wrap your brain around that. Of all these various forms of prayer that the book of Psalms contains, 70% of those prayers are prayers of lament, an aspect of prayer that for many of us, we desperately need to grow in. And maybe we weren't even aware that there is an aspect of prayer called lament. See, we're going to look at this kind of prayer today because it's vital we grow in it. It's so vital that not only are 70% of the Psalms laments, prayers of lament, but actually there's an entire book of the Bible, Lamentations, the Scriptures we're reading from, dedicated to this form of prayer. God desperately wants us to grow in the prayer of lament. And I think for many of us, we're going to recognize today that this is a missing aspect of prayer, that actually you can find yourself at a loss for words if you don't know how to pray prayers of lament, because in moments like the times that we're living in, the most appropriate prayer is the prayer of lament. Yes, we should adore God and give Him praise and thanksgiving at all times. But so often we're slow or reticent to lament and to engage in lamentation and to recognize that it's spiritually powerful and necessary. See, as I mentioned, the book of Lamentations captures this incredibly painful moment for the life of God's people. Because in 587, what takes place at this time when Babylon conquers them, this was the result of their sin and rebellion against God. For generations, God had been sending prophets warning God's people to not stray, to not disobey Him, to come back to covenantal faithfulness. But time and time again, they ignored Him. God warned them of judgment to come, but yet they hardened their hearts. The situation in Israel was very bleak because while God allowed judgment to come to them through the form of Babylonian captivity, capturing them and overthrowing their whole city and decimating their way of life, was because at this point, God's people had become incredibly comfortable with injustice in their nation. They were allowing the poor, the marginalized, women to be mistreated, children to be neglected, the elderly to not be properly treated. Wages were being withheld from workers. All sorts of injustices in the court system. You name it. At this time in God's people, in their history, up until this point, they had become so comfortable with rampant injustice. It was offensive to God. There's actually a scripture in the Old Testament where God says, your prayers, your worship services, your feasts are a stench to me. And that's strong language. God saying, I'm tired of hearing your worship songs and your prayers. Why would God say that? Because they had become complicit in injustice. They lent a blind eye and ignored what was going on. They allowed it to perpetuate. And at this moment, enough was enough. And God allows judgment to come to his people that he might bring them face to face with the consequences of their sin. And as they see their city decimated, their way of life brought to nothing, loved ones gone, and unspeakable atrocities committed against them, and then ripped away from their land, they begin to engage in prayer, but a specific kind of prayer. They begin to engage in lament. Now, to lament, biblically, it has two kinds of meanings. The first kind is, think of a dirge. If you're familiar with that word, a dirge is a kind of song that's sung at a funeral procession or at a place of mourning. It's a sad song. There's no joy in it whatsoever. And so when God's people begin to lament, and if you read the book of Lamentations, it's one of the saddest books in all of the Bible, because they're looking at everything that's transpired, and the only appropriate thing at that moment is to declare their sadness, their loss, their pain. I think it's important for you and I to recognize that you're not spiritually strong if you can look at everything around you and be in denial about it. Have you ever met people like that? And if you are someone like this, I want to challenge you to consider that God is inviting you into an alternate way. Because there's a temptation at times to look at everything that's around us and kind of put a neat bow on it. In the name of faith, in the name of being spiritual. And we're quick to say, God is good and he's faithful. And he is good and he is faithful. But you can also say, this around me is sad. This is awful. This is heart-wrenching. So to lament is to declare a song of a dirge of sadness. But also to lament, it's an act of protest, actually. When you lament in prayer, you're protesting to God and for God. You're crying out to God saying, this is not right. This is not how things should be. This is broken. This does not line up with what I understand your character to be and your will for humanity. This is not the way things should be. You're protesting the brokenness, the violence, the trauma, the loss. You're looking at this world and saying, this is not what your kingdom on earth is supposed to be. We long for the kingdom. We protest when we don't see it. But we also protest for God. We begin to declare into the injustice, this is not God's will. We will not settle for it. Though we're suffering and we're sad and we're giving voice to it, we're not being complacent. We lament because we desire for God to change these situations. So we engage in the prayer of lament. You know, but what's interesting about the book of Lamentations and why I really want to offer this to us in this sermon, because I think it's something that we have to seriously consider, is that actually in the book of Lamentations, the voice of God is not heard at all. God doesn't speak in the whole book. Imagine that, a book of the Bible, and you don't hear the voice of God, the character of God, his being speaking, not directly or even through a prophet, but all you hear is the voice of lament. So the book of Lamentations is just one book of human suffering, giving voice to our pain and protesting everything that we see around us. And yet God is silent. Why I think that's an important thing to consider is because one of the things that's essential for you and I to learn is to learn how to pray when heaven is silent. I would love to tell you that there's never a time in your journey with Jesus where you won't feel like God is silent, where the heavens won't feel shut up and far from you. But I would be lying. And if you read the Bible, even just cursory reading, you would see that there's anguish and longing and moments where God's people feel like, where are you, God? Where there's a sense of heaven is silent. We don't hear your voice. And perhaps this season, that's probably the best way that some of us can describe this season where we've seen loss personally, loss of loved ones, seeing the friends and family lose loved ones, the loss of employment, the loss of our way of life, and seeing all the injustice that we've been confronted with, the sin of racism that has plagued this country from the very beginning, where there's an appropriateness to lament and to pray in this season that perhaps for many of us, we find ourselves praying at a time where it feels like heaven is silent. God is not deaf. He's not blind. He hears, he sees. And yet this could be a time where you feel like, where are you, God? I don't hear you. To learn to lament is to learn to pray when heaven is silent. And that's something that you and I can desperately need to grow in. The other thing I want to bring to your attention that I think is important is that they were praying these laments while they were in exile. Now think about that. They have been pulled away from the land that was promised to them by God, their hopes, their dreams, everything gone. I don't know if you remember the Enron scandal. That was an awful situation where there was a company called Enron and they cheated investors and workers out of untold fortunes. And one of the most tragic things was the workers that gave many years of their life working for this company that was utterly fraudulent, they lost their pensions. They lost all of their retirement. And I remember seeing some interviews and reading some articles about these folks that had lost everything. It's hard to truly capture what it's like to hear someone verbally express the reality that the last 20 years of my life, what I was saving and investing for is gone. God's people, everything they built was gone. And not only was it gone, they were taken away from their home. They weren't even allowed to rebuild, to give it another chance, to restore. They were taken away. And at this moment, they begin to pray prayers of lament. Well, I think that's an important thing for you and I to wrestle with and to kind of absorb into our hearts is that oftentimes we yearn for comfort. We yearn for good situations, for amicable environments in order for us to grow. Think about, you'll go to a gym to go work out, but it has to be air conditioned, or we'll go to a church service, a gathering, but it has to feel comfortable. We'll go through sacrifices and inconveniences, but we are creatures of comfort. And oftentimes we try to grow, but we struggle to grow if it doesn't feel comfortable. But can I tell you, if we're going to grow in prayer, discomfort is the fuel of prayer. Moments where you and I are disoriented and at a loss and feeling pain and our backs are against the wall, as much as we want those moments to go away quickly, can I tell you those environments, those moments, those pressures are the fuel of prayer. As much as I want this season to come to an end and I want this chapter to close and I want the coronavirus to go away and quarantine to go away and the strife over the election and the division that we see and racism and all these, as much as I want that chapter to close, the honest truth is there will probably never be another time in our life that could be more catalytic to help us grow in prayer than this season of discomfort. Because what this season calls us to do is to not deny what's happening, but to engage in lament. I remember years ago, I heard one of the most helpful analogies and perspectives on life that I still hold to this day. There's this guy who was saying, he was describing life as a hotel stay. And the way he described it says, even at its best, imagine staying at a luxury hotel, all the amenities you could possibly imagine, great restaurants on site, it just indescribable, high ratings, it's where everyone wants to be. But even as great as that is, eventually that comes to an end. You got to pack your bag and you got to go back home. What's important for us to realize is that though life can be broken and difficult at various moments, and it might be really challenging for you in specific ways now, but it can also be great. There's moments of great joy and breakthrough. Recently, I was connecting with a bunch of leaders in our church, and I was amazed that even in the midst of all this time of loss and suffering, I heard great stories of weddings and marriages and children being adopted and businesses starting. And it was breathtaking to hear of all that God is doing in his people's lives, even in the midst of some of the most trying circumstances imaginable. But even when it's that good, at its best, it's a hotel stay. This is not our true home. Our hearts yearn for our fully settled eternal home when we are one with Jesus, inseparable in his kingdom, where the scripture says his face lights everything up, where there's no sadness, no mourning, no tears, where death is fully defeated. Our hearts yearn for that home. And while we're here in this life, we're essentially in exile. This is not our true home. And what do you do when you're in exile, when you recognize that the space that we're in is not our ultimate place? This is not where we're ultimately heading. What that forces us to do is to be honest about our life here. To look at the violence and oppression that often women experience, to look at that and call it out as injustice and confront it, to look at child slavery and trafficking that's still a modern prevalent issue that is still happening. There's modern day slavery all over the world. To look at the plight of the poor in many of our cities that desperately need resources and comfort and love. And yet they're pushed more and more and treated so inhumanely. To look at the sin of racism and systemic violence and oppression that many communities of color have had to endure. If this is our life in exile, you and I can stop pretending that it's great and awesome, but you and I can be honest and say, this is not what God intended. We can be honest about the sadness it brings us into. But we could also raise our voice in protest. Say, God, this is not what your kingdom on earth looks like. And we cry out, may your kingdom come. May your will be done. Because lament is a form of spiritual protest. I want to read this quote by C.J.H. Wright. And it says this, protest to God is also protest for God. That is, it emerges from a passionate concern for God's name to be vindicated in the midst of all that slanders it. That is the essence of biblical lament. It is faith struggling over the chasm between what it knows to be true about God and the realities of what it sees or experiences in this fallen world. I love how he communicates the idea of lament and how it brings us to wrestle with the chasm between what we know to be true about God and the realities that we see around us. We know that God is love. We know that God is just. We know that God created us for good in mind, and he gave us this world to steward for our flourishing and our delight. But the realities all around us speak against that constantly. To lament is to enter into that chasm, to say, this does not reflect the goodness of our Father. This does not reflect his will on earth. And so we protest to God saying, God, look at this. We won't be silent. This has to change. But we also protest for God and say, we refuse to live in a world in this life that does not reflect the goodness of our God. See, as followers of Jesus, we're not called to just passively endure this time of exile and just wait for eternity. But no, we are called to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth in all of its facets. And one of the key ways we do so is to lament, to cry out to God, to name the sadness, the despair, but also to declare his overwhelming will and love in the face of the brokenness that we see. It's time for you and I to raise our voice in lament, to no longer be in denial about our personal pain and struggles that we've endured, that we try to brush under the rug, but also to no longer deny the brokenness all around us. Our world is broken, and trite Christian expressions that we try to throw on things and put a nice bow over it are not enough. We need to lament. We need to protest to God and protest for him in the face of injustice and brokenness in all of its forms. In prayer, we need to grow in our ability to lament. And if you're struggling to grow in this, as I've struggled, there's been so much pain, difficulty in my own life and things all around me that I've not been able to engage properly. And so this has been a journey of growth for me to lament, to be honest and say, I feel sad. I feel angry. This is not right. But not just to speak up when I'm feeling that, but also to look at this world and say, that's not God's will. That's not right. That must change. The kingdom of God needs to come into that area, and that must go, and his kingdom must come. And the place that's helped me grow and lament, even more than the Psalms, and even more than the Book of Lamentations, is the cross of Jesus. When you and I stare at the cross of Jesus, we see God's lament. We see God looking at this world and saying, I won't be satisfied with the brokenness to remain as it is. I want to repair and fix it. This is not how I intended this life to be for you. And though we chose to sin against God and to introduce all this chaos into our experience, the goodness of God and what the scriptures tell us is that God sends his son in order to restore the brokenness in our world, to heal it, to make it right side up. At the cross, we see that God does not tolerate injustice and sin and brokenness, but he actually seeks to destroy it, to remove it. But how does he do it? He does it through sacrificial love, through the atoning death of his son. You and I, as his followers in this world, if we are to properly lament, the first place we need to go to and keep going to is the cross. Because there we lament with God over the sin and brokenness in our world. And we join with God in saying, enough. This is not how it should be, and this is not how it will be. Because at the resurrection, a new chapter was entered into for all of humanity. We lament at the cross, but we also protest from the empty tomb. And we say, death will not have the final answer. It will not have the last word, because he is risen. And so we protest with the power of God's Spirit and declare his will, his kingdom to come in every expression of life. I want to invite you this week to consider what it would look like to give voice to lament in prayer. This may be new for you, and it's okay. It may be awkward at first, but I want to encourage you to engage with it and grow in it. Here's some things to consider. What would it look like for you to lament over areas in your personal life? Perhaps there's some stuff that's happened in your past that maybe you haven't been fully honest about, haven't given voice to the sadness, as well as to declare to God, that is not how things should have been. and I don't want that anymore. Change this, change my heart, heal me, heal this circumstance. Bring lament before God. Or maybe, what would it look like for you to lament over the conditions of our city, our nation, over all the injustice that we're seeing before our eyes? To lament over the loss of loved ones, of friends, the loss of work, of normalcy, of routines, of rhythms that were sacred to us or beneficial. There's so much to lament. You and I, we won't grow in prayer if we deny the pain and brokenness around us. And we won't grow in prayer if we just passively give voice to it and kind of detached. But no, we grow in prayer as we lament and we give voice to the pain, but we also protest before God and for God and say, this has to change. And while we're in exile, passing through this life, we will declare the justice and beauty of the one who hung on the cross and rose again, that he might bring new life to all of the world. Would you join me in prayer as we close? Lord Jesus, I ask that you would teach us how to lament. For many of us, there's so much stored deep down inside. Would you give voice to it? Would you help us to find language and to communicate to God the depths of our hearts, but also to communicate to you, Father, our response to the pain, the injustice, the brokenness all around us? Would you teach us to lament? God, would you teach us to lament, not just in sadness and giving voice to it, but teach us to lament in protest, in refusing to accept a world that does not reflect your goodness. Lord, we enter into the chasm, that disparity between what we know to be true about you and the realities that we see all around us. Teach us to lament, Lord Jesus. And would you help us to grow in prayer over these next couple weeks like never before? Would you join me in worship as the worship team comes and leads us in a closing song?